Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. How are you, and how's all of our listeners doing? Greetings from here in Grace Ferry to everyone. God's blessings upon us all.
Amen. Welcome back, Father. You had a couple of Wednesdays off, so hopefully you remember how we do this. That's how you could always test a good vacation. I used to say when I worked in IT, if I forgot my password, I knew it was a good vacation.
So
welcome back, brother. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. It's kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here on Wednesdays with Father McKay in the 4 o'clock hour. And I got a couple of great guests in the 5 o'clock hour. You're going to want to stick around for that. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who shows up. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. One of the things we're working on is Matt Talbot's centenary. He'll be dead 100 years next June 7th, 2025. And we're putting together a pilgrimage to Ireland with our good friend Michael Murphy, who lives in Ireland. And the pilgrimage will culminate with a weekend in Dublin to celebrate Matt's passing. We're also working on a feature film on the life of Matt Talbot. And you can learn more about that project at matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. Locally here in Philadelphia, we have a shrine to Matt Talbot in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. The shrine's currently open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass, which begins at 8:30 and open until around 4:30 in the afternoon. We've resumed Talbot Tuesday, where we have adoration at 3 o'clock, followed by Matt Talbot prayers and benediction at 4 o'clock. And on Thursdays, we pray a rosary by the shrine at 4 o'clock as well. If you're going to come down, be sure to visit our website, ourhouseministries.org, and get in touch with us. Let us know you're coming, and we can make arrangements to meet you over in church. Coming up on Monday, it's hard to believe it's less than a week away now, is our annual golf outing. I'm looking forward to seeing many golfers out there. Not sure if it's too late, but give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. I think I overheard them talking about a foursome that just had to cancel. So if you want to get in on the golf, there's probably an opening for you. If you just want to join us for dinner, that may be available as well. All the information is on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you can download a flyer with all the details on what's going on. Just one more announcement. Tomorrow night, I believe, is the second Thursday, so it will be the Knights of Immaculata Village out at the Malvern Retreat House. It begins at 7 o'clock with rosary and reading from Maximilian Kolbe's writings, followed by Mass celebrated by Father McKay. It's normally held in the Carlo Acutis Shrine, which used to be Lower McShane. But when you come in onto the campus now, they have signage everywhere because there's also an awards dinner there tomorrow night, which will probably be in the Our Lady's Chapel for Mass and then dining hall for dinner and the awards. But just look for the signage out there if you decide to go. Again, that's 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, October the 10th, go out and see Father McKay or Engineer Patrick, Brian Gale, and our good friends. Oh, I also want to mention the Ave Maria Retreat is coming up. It's the first weekend in November, November 1st to the 3rd. Father McKay will actually be the retreat director. Our friend Bob Kilkenny got in touch with me and asked if I would do the talk on Saturday afternoon. So it should be a great weekend. If you're looking to, if you're a male and looking to make a retreat, the Ave Maria group is a lot like my own group that goes out in August. Large percentage of people that are in recovery, but it is a traditional men's retreat weekend. They just happen to have quite a few people that are in recovery in a rather large AA meeting on Friday night and Saturday night. But other than that, it would be like any other weekend out at Malvern. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400, which reminds me, I was supposed to call them today. One of our longtime retreatants on the Friel weekend passed away suddenly yesterday, Tommy Burke. So I'd ask you to keep Tom and his family in your prayers. Speaking of prayers, we always begin the show with prayer, and we'll start now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Denis and St. John Leonardi.
Pray for us.
St. Therese the Little Flower and St. Francis of Assisi.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Father mentioned a couple of saints in the calendar this week, and the rest of them include in this 27th week in ordinary time. Well, on Sunday the 6th, St. Bruno was a priest, and here in the United States we celebrated Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher, a virgin. On Monday the 7th, one most people are familiar with, Our Lady of the Rosary. On Wednesday the 9th, today, we have St. Denis, Bishop, and Companions, all of which were martyrs. And then St. John Leonardi, a priest. And Friday the 11th, it'll be St. Pope John the 23rd. Before we get to the saints, a reminder, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, because when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we can't have that without our callers, so give us a buzz. Just I mentioned Tom Burke's passing. We also had a gentleman that really helped out the ministry a number of years ago, John Kelly, who passed away last night. We'd ask you to keep John in your prayers. Somebody had mentioned that we make Bob a regular host on the show. That's Bob from Fruitland Park, Florida. I ask you to keep Bob in prayer. He's going to be right in the path, I think, of Hurricane Milton down there in Florida. My sister's right in the path as well. They're all prepped up. She sent me a picture of her huge dog just lounging out on the sofa, all worn out from prepping for the hurricane. So just keep in prayer all those that may be in the path of Milton. All right. Anything else, Father, before we get started?
Thank you, Ken, for mentioning John Kelly. We actually started the ministry here with him, and he was the carpenter. And it's Chuck's house next door was the mother house. and it was kind of, you know, really broken down, dilapidated. And Kelly's a master carpenter. I mean, he's a carpenter, electrician, painter. He could do it all. And he never took a penny. But we hired guys who were in recovery because they were out of work. And at that time, they were getting $10 an hour. And he orchestrated everything. And I used to watch him work, you know, and he would sweat and work hard. And I always said to him, I said, I wish God can make me a priest as good as you are a carpenter. And he always liked that, you know, but I always remember saying that to him. So I want to be great as a priest as you are a carpenter. But yes, for John, may be smiling from us in heaven and taking care of us now on earth and meeting the master carpenter up there, Jesus and Joseph themselves. Thanks for mentioning him, Ken.
Yeah, yeah. Also, as long as we're mentioning folks to pray for, I ask you to pray for our pastor over at St. Luke's, Father Joe Brandt. He ended up needing a stent put in yesterday, or Monday, I guess it was, over at Abington Hospital. Still in the hospital and recuperating, so he asks you to keep Father Brandt in your prayers as well.
Yeah, and the parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi. That
fire. Yep. Yeah. A lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on. And pray for all of our priests. We know Father Matt Trailies, he's been to our Calyx meeting, young guy, and you know, to have that put on his plate along with you know, the regular duties of the priesthood, and so all of our priests as they continue to get stretched thinner and thinner, we pray for vocations, and I think more importantly, pray for patience on the part of all the Catholics in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You know, to have patience with the with our priests. Like I said, they're going to be stretched, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, or in the words of our friend Father Bryce Lundgren, it's going to get worse before it gets worser. So, you know, yeah. we need to hang in there and support each other, and especially our priests.
Yeah, thank you for that, too.
Yep.
You know, sometimes, and I know we all feel this way as priests, you feel like you're the only priest in the church, you know, because it's really like nonstop. And it's God's strength. It's more of a surrender, Ken, for us anymore. You have to do this, Lord. We can't.
Yeah.
And He does. He carries us, you know. But we've got to work through all that heaviness, that the demands of priesthood, the challenges. And, you know, I often think about John the 23rd when he was elected Pope. And that first day, first night, he's trying to sleep and he's tossing and turning in his bed. How am I going to take care of this universal church, Lord? Oh, this whole universal church filled with anxiety. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, John, whose church is this, mine or yours? And John, Pope John the 23rd, said, it's your church, Lord. He said, well, you go to sleep and let me take care of it. And that's what we have to do as priests, just surrender and let Jesus take care of it. We're in persona Christi. Just let Him shine through us, and let Him be the one and the true priest in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Surrender to the one main priest, Jesus Christ, and let Him do it. Two lines can just come to mind. One was Margaret Mary. Jesus said to her, abandon everything to my good pleasure, and I will take care of everything. And everything means everything. And the other line I get from Margaret Mary at the end of her life, she said, I have come to realize that Jesus was always saying to me, let me do it. It's always that surrender. Let me do it. You got it, Lord. You got it. You know, just let Him do it. And if any priests are listening there, just surrender to Jesus, the one, the true priest that we're all united with. And He'll take care of each and every one of us and all the needs of the church.
Amen. And, I chatted with Father last night, again this morning, about what saints we wanted to talk about today. Of course, he hasn't been here for the last couple of weeks. And I think it's fitting, Father, we start off with St. Thérèse of Lisieux, or St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. You know, one of the lines that she attributed to her said she came to the Carmel convent to save souls and pray for priests.
Amen.
So,
yes.
Yeah. And, you know, one of our younger saints, born January 2nd, 1873, died September 30th, 1897, at just the young age of 24. Loved her family. Missed her sister when her sister left for the convent, and Therese fell in right behind her. Entered the convent at the age of 15, and would die just 9 years later, at the age of 24. And I think a lot of times we think about people that live in monasteries, the cloistered sisters or cloistered brothers or monks, and think that, their life may be a little bit easier because of, they spend most of their time, in prayer and then working for each other, right? Whether it's preparing meals or whatever they may do to raise some money to support themselves. So they combine that life of work and prayer. But Therese really suffered in that. And I think people that are fellow sisters weren't always real kind to her, and she accepted the suffering. Probably the offered the idea of offering it up, and offering all of her suffering again to save souls and to pray for priests. It was interesting that when she died, she said, "I want to spend my heaven doing good on earth." And I think of all the people that have such a devotion to the little flower, people that do the novena and wait for the roses to show up. I know when my in-laws passed away a number of years ago, 5 days apart, both had a huge devotion to the little flower. As a matter of fact, my father's name, I always remember the day that he passed. He was in Ohio in a nursing home, and my sister-in-law, who lives here in Glenside, had driven by Penny's Flowers there in Keswick Avenue in Glenside, and they'll put a name on a board outside, and if your name's on the board, you can go in and get a free rose. And my sister-in-law went in, and the name on the board the day that my father-in-law passed was Herbert, and that was his name. And so my sister-in-law went in and got the rose because she was planning on hopping in the car to drive to Ohio the next day. And actually called my father-in-law shortly before he passed to let him know that that it had said that my mother-in-law sent the flower. And it was almost like a signal grace, because it was just a few hours later he would pass and join my mother-in-law in heaven. And, Sue's not crazy about the story, but, just a real love story and that devotion to the little flower. And that rose that seemed to be the calling card for him. Therese was canonized in 1925. I'll just throw this last piece of trivia out there, that when Father and I were in Ireland back in 2015, we visited, it wasn't Holy Savior, or it may have been, where it was a church right close to there that had the statue of St. Therese of Lisieux. And we were told that Matt Talbot was the first one to make a donation because he considered St. Therese, St. Catherine of Siena, and St. Teresa Avila to be like his girlfriends. He had a huge devotion to the three ladies, and made that donation for the statue right after she was canonized. He would die shortly after she was canonized in 1925. And the other note was on October 19th, 1997, Pope John Paul II made her a Doctor of the Church, just the third woman to be recognized in light of her holiness and the influence of her teaching on the spirituality in the Church. St. Therese of Lisieux, whose feast day we celebrate every year on October the 1st. Father.
Yeah. Doctor of the Church, here's a woman that never even had a course in theology, but yet a Doctor of the Church, wrote that book, The Story of a Soul. So much wisdom and spirituality in it that she always saw herself as, the spiritual childhood of herself. She always saw herself, Ken, like around 3 years old, always totally dependent upon God for everything, and just a totally surrender to Him. And what you said in the beginning really touched me too, because that was her calling, to go into the Carmelite convent and for souls, but to pray for priests. And I heard that years ago, and I said, "Well, you can pray for this priest right here," and she has. always felt connected with her, especially with those roses. You brought back a lot of stories with the roses, Ken. And I would make that five-day novena, and sure enough, a rose would pop up. And whenever I saw the rose after the novena, it would be like a heartburn. It always made me think of the people, you know, the Emmaus walk, the two disciples walking down with the Lord. And afterwards, as Jesus explained the scriptures to them, they said, "We're not our hearts burning within us." And that's how it is. When we have our odd or God segment and, you know, these divine winks, whatever you want to call them, it's not so much that you find something like St. Anthony, the Lost and Found Department, but when you find it, it's a touch of God. It's like our heart burns. We get this experience of his presence, of his love for us, that he's there. But I did want to share those two rose stories. And this first one, I never thought it would be top, but it was. The first one was, it was in July several years ago, and I'm with the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I felt like the little flower got cold in my spiritual life, you know, like, are you still with me? Are you still praying for me? Well, if you are, I don't want to do a five-day novena, but I would like a rose. And I'm thinking there, I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, and I don't know if I want a pink rose or a white rose. And afterwards, I got up, I genuflected, I walked out the doors of the chapel door, and I'm turning right, and here comes Sister Elizabeth, Little Sister of the Poor, and she hands me a white and a pink rose. Boy, did my heart burn with that one. I didn't even have to do the novena. It was like, yes, I am still your little sister. Yes, I'm still praying for you as his priest. But the other one that I had, I never thought anything would top that when I was down the shore and I was making the novena to her. It was during October, and it was her feast day, October 1st. And it was at St. Augustine's Church, and they have a statue in the corner in the back of the church. And I went, I started my novena there, and I asked for the roses. And on the 2nd of October, the Feast of the Guardian Angels, I went and I visited a couple of priest friends, Father Roland and Father Gene. And I had lunch with them. I came out, and I could see the roses in their garden. And I said, well, they're not my roses. And I went for my rosary walk on the beach there in Ocean City, and I never stopped. And I walked from one end, half of the rosary, and I turn around and I pray the other half, my spiritual exercise, and I never stopped. But yet, somewhere along that line, my guardian angel, Hugo, said, stop and turn around. And I stop and I turn around, and here comes a big wave right at my feet, and there's six roses. There's three big red roses, and there's some pink and white ones with little buds. And I said, wow, you know, without words, W-O-W, without words. My heart just burned. You know, I mean, how do these things happen? You know, heaven intervenes with us through these saints who love us so much. They're always interceding for us. But they were my rose stories. But that spiritual childhood of hers, that's how we're to be. You know, she lived at the time where the elevators were just coming out. And she would see all these saints, you know, like John of the Cross, Teresa Avila. You know, these were like jumbo jets. And she knew she was very little. And then she realized that real sanctity was to let the Lord take care of it. So she saw Jesus as the elevator, his arms, and that our Lord's arms would take her and just transcend her right to the Father. Because she had a great devotion to God the Father. And Jesus, that's his whole mission, to bring us to God the Father. And the mission of the Spirit is to bring us to Jesus, where we're in the arms of our Heavenly Father. And she tells so many beautiful stories about the Father. One story just comes to mind where the little child, the Father's on top of the stairway, and the little child sees the Father and is all excited. And the little leg is kicking at the bottom stair. But the little child can't even climb that first step. And she says, now the father sees this excitement of his little daughter, that the father's going to come down these stairs, pick her up, and take her to the top. And then she continues and says, but if that little leg's not kicking, the father's not even going to notice that we have to abandon things and come to the Father and want the Father more than the things of this world. And she tells the story, too, about the toys. She says, you know, the parents, when they, if they're going out on a mission, going to mass or church, and they might have a sitter to take care of the watch their little child. And the little flower tells this story that they'll try to distract this little girl with toys. And the toys will be in the corner, and they'll play with your toys, and mom and dad is trying to sneak out. And if the child lifts up the head and sees mom and dad going out the door, the child will abandon those toys and run to mom and dad. And she says, that's how it is for us, that we need to abandon the toys of God, the things that we see outside us, for God himself, to abandon all that and to come to God as a little child, you know, 3 years old, and how much he loves us. You know, there's so many beautiful stories that she tells us, but God the Father is just so powerful with that story. I'll just tell one more story with God the Father, and it deals with mercy, Ken, you know, just being a missionary of mercy. It's a story that I really liked telling over and over again about God's mercy and love for each and every one of us. And the little flower, when priests would come in and give homilies, the one homily, she didn't really like the passage where the woman who was maybe caught in adultery or whatever, and, you know, that Jesus would say that she loved much because she was forgiven much. And the little flower would say, I know I love God much, but I wasn't really forgiven much, because she really, really never committed any kind of really serious sins in her life. But she knew God's love, and that was her heart. You know, she wanted to be a martyr. She knew she couldn't be. And then she realized, you know, I'll be love. I'll be in his heart. And that was her calling, to be love for everybody. And anyway, the story she tells about this kind of mercy is so beautiful. And it's the kind of mercy I want. You know, yeah, yes, when we sin, we go to confession, that mercy is there, and God binds our wounds, and he loves us, and he forgives us, and we go on. But the story she tells is about the little girl, and she's going to school down a pathway, and she falls into a hole, into a ditch, and she cries out, Daddy, help me. And the father comes running and picks up the little girl, takes her back home, binds her wounds, gets her in bed, and the little flower would say, that's an act of mercy, that's an act of love. But she said, wouldn't it be more of an act of love and mercy if the father knew that hole was there, went ahead of the daughter and filled in that hole so that the daughter wouldn't even fall into that hole? And that's how the little flower saw herself, that God went ahead. She would have been the worst sinner of all, but because of the graces that she received, and she knew she was blessed tremendously to be the saint that she was and to be that lover that she was of the Sacred Heart of the Father and the Spirit, that she knew that God went ahead of her and filled in all those places. And I think everybody's listening. That's the mercy we ought to ask for. You know, yes, go to confession and confess our sins, but repent, turn away from them. And then ask for the mercy not to sin anymore. Give us that grace, Lord, the grace that Therese was asking for, the grace to keep me from sinning, to keep me faithful to your gospel, to help me to keep my eyes on you like the little flower, in that simplicity of the spiritual childhood, Ken.
Amen. And interesting that you talk about the confession. The 5 o'clock guests are going to be two daughters of St. Paul sisters, Sister Oriane Dick and Sister Allison Goliath. And they've written a great little book called Forgiven to help folks with the sacrament of confession. Those that go on a regular basis may not help as much, but those that have any kind of fear, or someone recently talk to me about, you know, it seems like they changed it since I was a kid, and I don't know all the right prayers and this and that, and this little book will be ideal, and the two sisters will be joining me at 5 o'clock to talk about it some more. We're just about at the bottom of the hour. Give out the phone numbers again, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or call us toll free at 888-343-2484, especially if you have an Is That Odd or Is That God story to share with us. We have reached the bottom of the hour, Father, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have your calls, and we can wrap up St. Therese of Lisieux and talk a little bit maybe about St. Francis of Assisi if we have time. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father McKay. Before we have our Odd or God segment, and we need your phone calls, by the way, 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484 if you want to participate. I'll give you a quick rundown on what's going on with Calyx and also the recordings of all the radio shows here at In His Sign. Usually get uploaded by noontime on Thursday. I have to actually head to Washington, D.C. first thing tomorrow morning, so they may not get posted until later tomorrow night or Friday, but can always be found eventually on our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you'll see a list of all the shows there. As for the Calyx Society, we've got a number of Calyx groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Father McKay, or Engineer Patrick, and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel. The chapel's at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We begin at 6 o'clock with adoration and Mass, and then a Calyx meeting usually gets started after pizza and refreshments. So the meeting usually starts about 7:15 or so. On the third Tuesday of the month, we actually go over to St. Gabriel's Church instead of the Matt Talbot Chapel, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour. Father McKay and often one or two other priests are there to help with confessions from 6 to 7, followed by Matt Talbot Novena prayers, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. Again, that's in St. Gabriel's Church on the third Tuesday of the month, which will be next Tuesday, October the 15th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be Thursday, October 17th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. And this month it'll be October the 19th. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. They will meet on October 20th this month. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. and they will meet on Saturday, October the 26th. So, again, I'm going to be joined by two daughters of St. Paul sisters in the 5 o'clock hour, talking about a book entitled Forgiven, A Guide to Confession and the Examine Prayer. You'll want to stick around for that. And we actually have a call from the Hurricane Prepper down in Florida. Hello, Bob.
That's it. Yeah. Can you hear the rain? Yeah.
Nah, I can't hear the rain. Is your home still standing?
Yeah. Well, this is odd but God. So first the odd part, I'm outside in a hurricane because I want to be a good citizen. They said it's a hurricane watch, so I came out to watch.
Man. Da-dum bump.
Yeah, the God part is I'm praying that I'll be here in the morning.
Were you supposed to evacuate?
Yeah, I thought that meant to throw up, so I did, the local weather shows that we're not going to get, it's like the national weather shows, like all of Florida is being destroyed, but the local weather shows that it's a little bit south of us, and we're going to get like 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds, but, nothing, in the hurricane range. So, everything's going to be fine.
All right, brother. Be safe.
Sure. The sun always shines on me.
Are you going to stay where you're at, or are you going to your sister's?
Well, the funny thing is she's in the same mobile home park.
Oh.
A friend of mine who has a house at the Jersey Shore, he's in Wildwood right now because he sold his regular house. He lived there year-round now. But he has a place down here in the Villages, and he told me I can go to his house in the Villages, but I decided to stay here.
Okay. Well, be safe, brother.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks good.
Okay.
And they had mass this morning, and they didn't say anything that there's not going to be a mass tomorrow morning. So, yeah.
Yep.
It's just mostly rain.
Yeah, well, you may have to use a boat to get there, but that's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway.
I just wanted to check in. Let you guys know I am safe. All right?
All right. I appreciate it, pal. You're in our prayers.
All right. Thank you very much. Take good care.
Hey, Bob.
Right.
There's Father.
Hey, Bob. Oh. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob.
Also, are they still naming, like, hurricanes after female names?
No.
No, that's men names.
Yeah. Gender ideology. They got to make sure they mix it in, yeah.
So what do you call it now? What's the name of this hurricane?
Milton. How can you be afraid of a hurricane named Milton?
Now, is that male or female?
Milton Burrow?
Male. Burrow, right. I laughed at this hurricane, yeah.
So that's a male name, right?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Do they call it a hurricane now?
A hurricane. My next door neighbor was paralyzed, and he was terrified of snow because he thought the ambulance wouldn't be able to get to him. And they started naming snowstorms after people. And his name was Paul, and he was terrified. I said, Paul, don't worry about it. I said, this is Snowstorm Paul. What's that going to do with it? He says, I said, it's not going to amount to anything.
Yeah, I can see all the radios being turned off. And. So, all right, brother, be safe. Don't be tying yourself to any flagpoles or anything.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No. All right.
Be good.
The animals are lining up in pairs out here, but I'm not
worried. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Send us a text tomorrow, pal, and let us know how things are.
I will.
I appreciate
it. Take care.
All right, you too. God bless.
Bob. God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Sorry about that, Father. I realized I got two different switches here, and I used the switch that you were on to bring Bob in, so I cut you off.
That's okay. I'm mortified.
But we'll use that same box now that Bob's going to go get Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm Bob's VP. We're a great running mate here.
Oh, there you
He's
go.
The president, I'm the VP.
Yeah.
I forgot it was Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Captain Lou gave me a call at 4 o'clock to the catches. But just to let you know, he didn't give me a name, but Captain Lou said there's a priest dying. He had to run and take care of things. I don't have his name, so just say a prayer for whoever it is. There's some priest Lou's helping right now that's dying. So I don't know if he's aware about the name or anything.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Maybe Father, a priest in the villa. Yeah. Might be a priest in the villa, retired priest. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And also, Father Doug, last couple times I called in, you had something. I hung up too soon. Do you have anything to say before I go?
Yeah, I forget, you know, because I haven't heard from you for 2 weeks, Frank. Were you calling in when I was on vacation?
Yes.
Yep.
Retreat vacation. Yeah, I miss you guys.
And also, yesterday, I got mixed up on Kathleen's show. It was 20:05. I dozed off. I called in. I said, is it too late? I thought she was there at 5 o'clock. I got that mixed up with Thursday's schedule. I'm all mixed up, Father Doug.
Keep coming back.
It took 3 years before I figured out your schedule. You're Wednesday at 4 o'clock. I'm all mixed up, man, whatever. My brain cells were diluted by all that stuff I drank for a long time.
I know that feeling.
Okay,
hey, Frank,
have a good one, guys.
Frank, I'm getting the same way, my memory. But, you know, my concern is they say the second thing to go with your memory, the second to go is your memory. That's the second go with Alzheimer's. The second to go, Frank.
I'm in trouble then.
He wants you to ask what the first thing is.
I thought you had more to say. What's the first one, Father?
The first one is... The first one is...
Bad.
Oh, boy.
No, this is bad.
I don't remember, Frank.
No, I got it now.
I'm getting like you.
I'm getting a text message from Ralph. What am I listening to? Laughing?
Laugh off, whatever.
Yeah, right. All right, Frank.
Us drunks aren't good comedians, okay?
There you go. Well, we have to be. It's either that or cry.
Yeah. So, there you go. I cried my tears or whatever the saying is, and beer or whatever it was. I forget.
Yeah.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, you too, Frank. Bye-bye. Take care.
Laughter is the beginning of prayer. Keep laughing.
Amen. All right. The phone lines are clear. If anybody else wants to get in, it's 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. Do you got an otter guide you want to share, Father?
Those are roses, I think, were my otter guide for the day.
And Daniel O'Connor was on a couple of weeks ago on September 11th. It was my guest in the 5 o'clock hour, and he had mentioned that he was working on a book on an introduction to living in the divine will, and that book is now available on Amazon. It's really well done. I picked up a copy over the weekend and just started reading it. But one of the things that was an otter guide, I shared it last night at the Calyx meeting. Last Tuesday night, we finished up Dan Burke's book, Finding Peace on the Storm, Finding Peace in the Storm, based on St. Alphonsus Liguori's letter entitled Uniformity with God's Will. And here, when I'm reading Daniel's book, he's got a section in there on Alphonsus Liguori. And that letter and how life-changing it was for him, and that he kind of lived by that until he learned about Luisa Picaretta. And, you know, in some ways it almost seemed like Alphonsus Liguori may have been living in the divine will without knowing exactly what it was or what Jesus had told Luisa that it was. So it was kind of an otter God reading a book over the weekend and come across that passage. So, but if you're interested, those that listen on Wednesdays, the last Wednesday of the month, Divine Will Wednesday, if you want to pick up a copy of that book, you can do so now on Amazon. I'm working with Daniel to get a case of the books, and I'll distribute them locally as well. So stay tuned. And we've got 15 minutes left. Father, did you have anything else on Thérèse Lisieux before we go on to St. Francis?
Maybe just to close it. one of the lines, Ken, it's all a grace, she said. It's all a grace. You know, she never wanted to do anything against God's will. It's all a grace to do His will. And, you know, whatever we did, to do it out of love, you could do the ordinary in an extraordinary way, by doing it for love. Even if, she said, if it was to bend down and pick up a straw off the ground, you do it for love, and it becomes extraordinary. To do it for God, you know. But one of the things, too, you know, with today, with the young people, Ken, and, you know, the cell phones and all the pornography and how the kids have such access to that, I mean, it's really terrible. And people beat themselves up. You know, teenagers are, you know, committing suicide, you know, and it's all leading to that. But there's just something I wanted to say. St. Ignatius of Loyola said this, and it seems like more and more people struggle so much with purity today. But St. Ignatius of Loyola said that those who love God the most will be tempted the most with purity. And this is something that the little flower said that I never forgot, and I got this from my moral theologian. He said that the little flower said that the greatest sin of all is not the sin against chastity, but the sin against charity. And there it is, you know, there's that love again. You know, we beat ourselves up over our sexual sins, but the thing is, God's mercy is so great and his love is so powerful. It's greater than all of our sins. And I just wanted to share that because I know there's so many young people, so many people falling into these sins of impurity, these sexual sins. And the Lord is there with his loving mercy to bring us right back to himself. And that to keep loving God, and he'll strengthen us with the graces that we need to be pure heart, because it's the blessed are the pure, for they and only they shall see God. And that seeing God is like St. Therese, like all the saints, all the mystics, that they see God, that is, that they experience him, that they're aware of his love in their hearts, and that's all they want. And the little flower shows us that, you know, just to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. It's all about grace, and that grace endows us and empowers us to love God in all things and to love our neighbor as ourself. It's all a grace, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, when we come to realize that, like we do in reading Dan Burke's book, you know, everything that happens is either by God's design or because God allows it. And in that is the grace. And when we come to realize that, that's when we find the peace in the storm. We can remain calm despite all the things that may be going on around us. And what a gift that is. You know, so many people today worried and anxious and what have you. And to not have that today is such a blessing and such a grace. And it only comes from accepting God's grace that we can get there.
Amen. We must receive it.
Yep.
You know, God's grace. You know, I love the acronym, GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Claim the grace. He died a criminal death that we may receive the grace of transformation, of to be like him, to become God by participation, like Therese and all the saints, like Matt Talbot can with the shirts. If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God.
Amen. And another great saint that accepted that grace, not early on, but as a late teen maybe, was St. Francis of Assisi. And his feast day was celebrated on October the 4th, the highlight of the year for our secular Franciscan friends. And I know I believe they celebrated the Transitus over at St. John's on Friday or over the weekend, and again last night at their fraternity meeting in our Matt Talbot Chapel. And, you know, St. Francis was born, we think, 1181, 1182 time frame. He would die on October the 3rd in the year 1226, so only about 43, 44 years old. And, you know, was, you know, loved the party like anybody else, carousing and singing and what have you. And, you know, went through a, you know, life-changing event like many of us do. And completely turned his life around. You know, went so far as to even disband his father, and you know, accepted God the Father as his father. Heard Jesus tell him from a cross there in San Damiano that he wanted Francis to rebuild his church, and of course we kind of know the story that Francis thought he meant to rebuild that physical church, so he went around collecting stones and bricks in order to rebuild the church, when what God really needed for him to do was to build up or rebuild up the people of the church. And I think he learned that in short order, and went on to found the Franciscan order, priests, brothers, sisters, and well known around the world today, and especially for poverty. He wanted nothing, and we don't have all those attachments, if we're not worried about the material world, worldly things, it allows us to grow that much closer to God. So a great example to all of us as to how to lead the life. Our friends in recovery, you're probably familiar with St. Francis. You'll find what they call the St. Francis prayer in the book 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, in the 11th step, where it tries to help people in recovery to learn how to pray. One of the prayers they offer is the prayer of St. Francis. So many of our friends in recovery would even be familiar with them. And, of course, anybody that's got a pet, the birds would flock to Francis, and the Wolf of Subio, and the other stories that pertain to Francis and his interaction with animals. It was always interesting. He did have the stigmata. He received it 2 years before he passed. May have passed at a younger age because of the severe penances and fasts that he would do. Often not only the Lenten fast, but he would do the St. Michael fast in the September time frame. But always seemed to be fasting, and may have had a lot to do with his poor health and poor eyesight. Anyway, St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast day we celebrate on October the 4th each year.
Right. You know, that poverty, Lady Poverty, he married Poverty. That was his spouse. Mm. And he has a great line that made me really think a lot about, poverty, that emptiness, that, like that first step. We admitted we were powerless, poverty. We have nothing of ourselves. They asked St. Augustine, what are the three most important virtues? And Augustine said, humility, humility, and humility. And then he defines the virtue by saying that knowing that I am totally dependent on God for everything, and everything means everything. And then St. Peter Chrysologus said, that put peace before every other virtue, because God is peace. But Francis, they asked him, what virtue endears your heart the most to Jesus? And he said, poverty. Think about that. That, first of all, I have to know that I am powerless. The first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Knowing I'm poor, knowing that I'm helpless, knowing that I'm powerless, opens my heart, humbles me, and now that virtue of humility is giving God permission to let him act in me, to receive what God wants to give to me, that I may be like him. But Lady Poverty. Mm. So many beautiful quotes from Francis. But there's a connection with Francis, and like all the saints, Ken, with Therese. It's that joyful spirit, that childlike spirit that's in both of them. Like the little flower, she would say, after she would go through John and the cross, she would really delve into that. And once she went through that, she realized that only the only books that she needed was the Gospels. That's all she needed. And that was the same way with Francis, that he married the Word of God, the Gospel. And that pretty much was like his rule, to live the Gospel, the whole Gospel, and nothing but the Gospel. And, just to listen to the words in the Gospel, like the Father, listen to him, listen to Jesus, do what he tells us. The Blessed Mother, beautiful, like do whatever he tells you, listen to him, that he has the words of everlasting life. And when we take those words of Jesus and we put them into practice and we do what he tells us, he reveals himself and we become like the saints, we become like the mystics, we become joyful and peaceful and loving like them, because we're close to Jesus, we're close to his heart, and he pours into us all of his beautiful virtues. And no matter what, there's joy in suffering. I think about that story with the robbers. Francis is coming down the road, and they attack him, and they say, what are you so happy about? He got like two sticks, and he's singing. He said, what are you so singing about? He said, I'm harrowing the king. and say they beat him up and they throw him in the ditch. And then he pops out and he continues his journey singing to the king. That nothing could dampen that joy that he had. No one could take it away. You know, it's not the joy of the world, the pleasures of the world. Joy is of the heart. You know, happiness is an inside job. It's coming to God and be united with him, because our hearts are restless until they rest in him, O Lord. But Ken, I know we're coming close to the end. But one of my favorite quotes of Francis is when he said, "At all times preach the gospel, and when necessary use words." You know, mm-hmm. Example first. You know, give the example. Nobody can pick on our example. They can pick on our words, and especially people can, you know, proclaim words and words and then do the opposite. But when you see the example and living the gospel by example, that touches a lot of hearts. And that story that I told at Malvern for the first Friday about Brother Leo and Francis, Francis says to Brother Leo, "We're going into the marketplace and we're going to preach the gospel. So put on your habits." So they put on their habits. And Francis and Leo walks through the marketplace one end to the other, and they don't say a word. And Brother Leo says, "When are we going to preach the gospel?" And Francis says, "We just did." Yeah, that habit, you know. I think about, you know, you wear a cross, like Butchie today, you know, I met with him, and he wears the rosary around his neck. He had three crosses with him. People see that. That's a witness of his faith, you know, holding the rosary at our side. That's a witness to our faith. Priests and nuns wearing the habit, that's a witness to his presence. We don't even have to say anything. People see that. They think of God. They think of God. They see the priest. They see the nun. It makes them think of God, and the Spirit does something there. So, you know, at all times preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. So he had a burning love for God. And that holy name of Jesus, Francis, you know, he was behind the crib, nativity scene, the stations of the cross, and the tabernacle. And once time he was praying before the tabernacle, and he was whispering his prayers, and then someone went up and said, "What kind of prayers does a saint say? Go over and listen." And they listened to him. And he was wetting his lips, and he was praying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." That prayer, powerful, the holy name, that all the saints would have that name on their lips, the sweetness of the name. When I was at Holy Family Home, it was Brother Charles there, Ken. He helped us a lot with the mission here. He was a great benefactor in many, many ways. And we were at the theology class, and he said, "I have a special prayer that will pierce the heavens." And, you know, we're all around there, and I said, "Okay, brother, what is it? I'm all ears." I picked up my pen. "Let's hear it." And brother said, "It's a prayer of Francis, one of his most favorite prayers." I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And one of the sisters said, "Brother, could you slow down a bit? You're going too fast." But the power of the holy name on the lips of the saints, Jesus, it's a spiritual communion. It brings us to him. It brings us to the Father. It's the Spirit that brings us to Jesus. So that holy name of Jesus. At the end of his life, Ken, he said this, "I have done what was mine to do. May Christ teach you what is yours to do. I have done what was mine to do, and may Christ teach you what is yours to do." A burning love for Jesus Christ. Brother Leo said to him, "Put yourself out, Brother Francis, before you burn up the world." That's what saints do. They burn up the world, Ken. They answer that gospel. They marry that word, that Jesus saying, "I have come to set a fire in the world, and how I wish it was blazing." And we see that fire blazing in Francis, in Therese, and in all the saints. It's the fire of divine love. It's the fire of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We've only got 30 seconds. Can we get your blessing, please?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this radio hour and for speaking through us to so many hearts. Lord, help us all to know that we all belong to you. And bless us real good through all the angels and saints, and especially Mother Mary, our mother and your mother, and Saint Joseph, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone, Ken.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We're going to be joined right after the break by Sister Orianne Dick and Sister Allison Goliath, and talk about their book, Forgiven, A Guide to the to confession and the examine prayer. Don't go away. We'll be right back.